Joining. Welcome back to Dose of Reality Radio. I'm your host, Brian Stavely. Well, I'm not really your host today. Today is another video in the My Awakening series. So in the My Awakening series, what we do is we interview various researchers in the different communities, and we get their personal story on when they, you know, a lot of people like the term woke up, quote unquote, woke up or whatever, and then go through their timeline of events, how it's affected them and whatnot. And then what's going to happen today is actually I'm going to give my story because everybody's been asking for it, and I wanted to do it as well. So Paul's going to interview me. Gloria's going to help out. After we do the bulk of the interview, break, and then we'll come back and we will take questions from the chat. We'll open the phone lines and we'll go and elaborate on more of the topics we talked about, maybe get in depth about some of them, have more of a back and forth discussion and whatnot. And you'll know when we do that because we'll take a quick break. And when we come back, then we'll open all that up. And Gloria will take the questions from the chat and relay them to us and everything. So with all that being said, Paul, you want to get it started?
All right, come on. All right, first question. I'm being professional tonight. So let's go for it. All right, the first question is, what first made you realize that the world governments and the media were completely controlled? Like, when was this, like, in your timeline type of thing?
For me, it was 2010. It was probably the fall, maybe like October or November, I think. I don't think it was the summer. It was the later part. And for me, I saw a movie that turned out to have a lot of disinformation in it, but it was a movie with Nicolas Cage in it called World Trade Center. And what it was is it pushes the whole thing about the firefighters being trapped under the rubble really hard. So it's like a really emotional film, and he's one of them that's like stuck under there and stuff. So regardless of, you know, what that information is, it's totally different than because it shows like bombs going off is my point. It shows bombs going off and explosions in the building. So and then they're trapped. So it shows something different than what the mainstream media and the government was saying. And it just something clicked in my head. And I was just like, whoa, wait a minute. This is crazy. So then I just had to start. Looking more into 9/11, I started looking into everything I could as far as the documentaries that I found on YouTube. So it was Loose Change. There's four versions of Loose Change. I believe at the time it was version edition 3, volume 3, whatever it's called. And then I saw like there were a lot of other similar movies like In Plain Sight. And there was, you know, there was the whole Alex Jones thing. You know, and we can get more into that. Yeah, but for me, it was the first thing was the World Trade Center movie.
Right. So what about, I know you said the World Trade movie, but was you into conspiracies as they labeled back then? Or that was the first thing that caught you completely attention? Or was you like looking into different things? Or
The first thing.
Big one.
Yeah, because like if people mentioned before to me, like you hear things like the moon landing hoax, briefly you hear it, or you hear JFK. I never just like thought those people were idiots for thinking that, but I, at the same hand, I never looked into them. So this would be the first thing I looked into, but I always did have an open mind. Like I never thought if somebody said, oh, the government killed JFK or something, and it wasn't this lone shoot. I never had a problem with them saying that. I thought that could happen, you know, but I never looked into it. Hey, as everybody knows, I'm not a JFK guy, so I never looked into it. You know what I mean? Yeah, but for me, that 9/11 was the first one. But then when that happened, dude, forget it. I just went so deep into 9/11 that it was crazy. It started out with, okay, and then I started looking at the Alex Jones and the, you know, kind of the entry-level stuff into it, you know, the Tower 7, stuff like that. But I got through that stuff rather quick. I know a lot of people get caught up in that for a long time, the whole web of these people that are actually put there to be like, you know, disinformation agents. So like what happens is you get through the mainstream narrative, what the schools have been teaching you and everything. And then you get people that are screaming, oh, 9/11's an inside job. The government's involved, this and that. So automatically, if you already think something fishy's going on and you believe that, you're going to resonate towards them, but you don't realize how they mix truth with lies, you know? So yeah. I got in that a little bit, but I was never the type of person that was like in the, I was never like, you know, into the Ron Paul thing. I saw that for a fraud it was. I actually wrote a blog on it. You can read it, like from 2010, 2011. I never got into any of those types of groups, you know, like the We Are Change, the Anonymous, you know, none of that crap. I never got into that.
So do you reckon if you think about it now, if you look back on it now, how you think of things now, would you think you thought critically, like to say that's dead suspicious? You was comparing different types of media on 9/11. So obviously you thought critically, but you just didn't know what to do with it type of thing. Was you?
Yeah, well,
was that about right?
I think it's because I always had an open mind, but I never had the reason to just completely... I never thought that the government and the media would lie to us to that level, basically, Paul, you know, about a terrorist attack and 3,000 people in the middle of New York. I never thought that they would lie about that. So I never, ever, ever thought to question it until I actually had it put in front of me, even though it was a motion picture, even though it's full of disinformation, I still had an alternative view put in front of me. And then it just clicked. Well, wait a minute, you know?
Yeah.
Now what they say just can't be true. I'm like, and it doesn't make sense how they say these buildings collapsed. I mean, it's just absolutely ridiculous. And it's ridiculous to think, you know, three towers came down from two airplanes, and it gets much deeper than that, obviously. And then, you know, so I did the Alex Jones things just for like maybe, man, it wasn't long. I don't want to like, you know, toot my own horn and say it didn't take me long, but it was only like 2 or 3 months with him. You know, I did listen to it intently for 2 or 3 months. Jesse Ventura, Alex Jones, even Gloria's buddy Joe Rogan. I mean, you know, I thought they were all right at the time, you know, especially Jesse. I really liked Jesse, and I really liked Alex. Rogan wasn't really out there like that till a little later on. I actually was never a Rogan fan. One of my friends tried to turn me on to him way back before the stuff I look into now, and I was just like, man, I don't trust that guy at all. And then he did his flip-flop on Apollo. But yeah, so I did the Alex Jones things for a few months. But then I started I had a lot of problems with him because I was looking at a lot of 9/11 footage, and this is 2010, and there were definitely no planers, as they call it, and we'll talk about labels later. I don't want to be associated with any labels, okay? It just does nothing but cause problems in any type of movement. So, you know, there were not a lot of us that were, you know, at the time, no planers. I mean, there's probably less than like in the circles on the internet and everything. I mean, less than like 20 of us, like in the whole world that I knew of, you know. And then to the level that it gets deeper than that, I mean, we're talking just a handful of people. But, you know, Alex Jones, people kind of looked at him. This is where I really had a problem. People kind of looked at him as like having being the leader of the 9/11 truth movement. You know what I'm saying? Whether that's true or not, and whether it's a legit movement or not, people definitely have that perception of him. Would you agree?
Oh, definitely. I mean, you were talking about it took you about 3 months to realize. So that was the period that you thought something's wrong with the alternate like media type of thing. Was that what actually specifically made you think these are gatekeepers type of thing? What made you turn off him?
This is exactly it. Is he is supposedly the leader of the 9/11 truth movement. This is 2010. Well, he's been on top of this since the day it happened. So it's been a decade, right? He's been the guy. He's definitely the lead guy on the radio, whether you want to say he's the lead guy in the movement or not. Definitely the lead voice on the radio, right? He's got a big budget, teams of researchers like Burmese and Dice and Radowski and all these other clowns under him, right? How can I go into 9/11 for a few months, look at the footage, and realize the planes are fake, and he doesn't, and he wants to fucking patronize everybody that does and call us kooks, call us crazy? You know how they do it. No, those stupid no-planers, they're just here to hurt the movement. No, the no-planers are just the only ones using their sense. You're looking at a freaking cartoon. A plane can't melt into the side of a building. You know, we can get into the discussion of how the buildings can come down and what they use and that, but like that can't be real footage of a real plane hitting a building. It's just not. And to even if you believe or you're on the fence about it, for him to act the way that he does, he would just go on shows, and I watched him go on several different shows and just go on rants. He's like, these no planers, these retards, these people are, you know, drooling from the mouth and all this shit. And I'm just like, whoa, it's time to put this guy in check. And then I took it one step further, Paul. I started to I forget the guy's name. I'll try and look up his video later. It was such a good video. His name is I think his name is Josh something, but I got it. It's on my Alex Jones playlist. It's the first video. It says like Alex Jones, the Knights of Malta, and the Jesuits. And you know, and you can't even put the words Knights of Malta in his forum because it gets auto flagged and deleted and taken out of there. And then I'm just like, oh, all right, well, I'm all set with this guy. And then I just knew, and I just further seen his gatekeeping on 9/11. And you weren't, no matter what it was, he could flip flop on different theories. He could talk about this. He could talk about lasers. He could talk about directed energy. But no matter what it was, it always had to be, the 3,000 deaths. It had to be the same fear that was being pushed.
So when you was like researching and you was going heavily into it, but also we'll touch on this soon, but you're researching it, you're looking at different sources, you're compiling all your sources and you're seeing him still constantly calling yourselves and other people in the movement. Is that when you realize he was a like phony or and the alt media was phony?
That's when I realized it, and I also realized it with there's a great film I need to talk about. It's called Pallywood. I realized it with Russia Today as well. Russia Today is like the Alex Jones of YouTube, or Alex Jones is on YouTube now, or he isn't now, whatever the case is, But Russia Today back then was a big YouTube channel, and it seemed legit when you first get into the truth movement. But I don't know if you've ever seen the film called Pallywood. It's 20 minutes. I shouldn't say film. It's a video, short video on YouTube. And I'm not saying the whole thing is staged, but it shows 60 minutes down at the Gaza Strip showing Palestinians and Israelis staging part of the conflict. And then there's that same footage I seen on RT. And I also seen other footage on RT that is just like, wow, these guys, they just did the same thing. RT, the Young Turks, Alex Jones, they're all the same thing, Paul. And then one of the first calls they ever made, I made to Marcus Allen's show, and he was on there with Chris Kendall, and definitely a couple of one of those, a small handful of guys I talked about. Those are a couple of them. They really got it really early on. So I called them, and we started talking about media fakery and all types of stuff, not just like 9/11, but all types of media fakery. And we started talking about Alex Jones. This was like early in my awakening, and I had just gotten past the Alex Jones hurdle. And I kind of brought up Alex Jones and Judy Wood to these guys. And I was like, yeah, so I figured out what he does is he just takes like 50% truth and mixes it in with 50% lies. And he's like, Brian, he doesn't even mix it in with 50% truth. He's like, there's not even 5% truth. So we went and we looked while we were on the show. And we went to his headlines, and a lot of them, most of them sound like complete ridiculousness, We tried to source them, to see where else he was getting them from. And none of them. They all just came back to his site, Prison Planet. They InfoWars. They weren't. They were just shit made out of thin air, literally. And people buy that shit, So it didn't take long to get past that. But then there's a whole nother level on the internet of these types of people, Because I got
Mean,
into.
if you look back on it now, can you see like, yeah, I can tell he was because he's like the kind of, if you do any research whatsoever, he's generally the first name that comes up on Google for any type of conspiracy type of thing. So when you look back on it now, I know you would you definitely like be a red flag like to avoid that type of person, or do you think he helped you in some way? Do you still think you gained anything from following like alt media?
I think I gained something because I am smart enough to be able to take it for what it was worth, have me question things a little more, but see that they're really just controlling. But I do see how dangerous it is for people that, they can't get past that hurdle. It's very, very, very dangerous. And unfortunately, many people can't get past that. I mean, even people that think they're deep in the truth movement, but they're really not. And I don't mean to say everybody's at their own pace, you know what I mean? But you guys, people need to see past that. And so once I got past him, I started doing radio shows. I started saying, I'm gonna do my own shows. And this was in like late 2010, excuse me, early 2011. And I just started doing 9/11 shows. I put them together myself. I didn't use any of the sites I had to pay for at the time, except for my own website. I had to pay that monthly. But as far as like broadcasting and stuff, I found all shareware stuff, figured out, taught myself how to put it together, route the audio, post it, record it, all that. And I started a show called the Wake Up Call, and I started it with a guy named Justin Cook, who used to be my co-host. And Justin's not with us anymore, so I just want to give a shout out to Justin. Because none of this would probably—I don't know if it would be going on without Justin. So,
I'd like to ask a question on this because you've mentioned a few times, Justin. And I want to know because I believe he was a big part of what you are now.
Yeah.
He was a great researcher. I just want you to tell me and the people listening what who he was, what type of research and what he had to offer and what made him as good as he was.
Well, Justin was obviously very open-minded like myself. He was very deep into 9/11. He was the type of guy that much like I became after, you know, and I might have got this trait from him a little bit where you don't follow anybody. You're not really a big fan of anybody. You just take information from everybody and you piece it together. You don't wait for somebody to have an opinion on something before you have it, you know what I mean? And he was always like that. He never trusted any of these people. And he was doing 9/11 since pretty much the day it happened, you know. I know Mike talked about when we had Mike Guadio on, he met Justin personally long before I did. Maybe like 2003 or 2004, he said. So he Justin in back in the day before, you know, he got deeper and deeper into it. Like by the time we met up, he used to be the guy down at Ground Zero, you know what I mean? And stuff like that. He was very much into researching kind of along the lines of stuff you research, ancient stuff a little bit, the Kabbalah, stuff like this he was really into. He was into researching like the Illuminati ties to music type of stuff. And, you know, that was really his specialty, you know, symbology, numerology, all sorts of predictive programming. And then we kind of all came together on 9/11, you know what I mean? So I met him and he was already doing shows. He was doing shows here and there. He was doing shows on Informed Network. And that's where I don't remember if I met him on Informed or I met him on Let's Roll Forums. I think I met him on Let's Roll Forums because that's where me, him, and James met. And we're going to get into that for sure, the whole Let's Roll Forums thing. But I met him on either there or Informed Radio. We did some shows on Informed called Wake Up Call. And then eventually I said, I'm just going to do my own shows on my own network. And I did two shows, The Real News Radio, which eventually we changed the name to Dose of Reality, which it is now. And we did, I did a show called The Last American Radio Broadcast, which I did with people from Let's Roll Forums a lot. So Justin was with me on all of it, all the way until the last show I did with him was late 2014. That was the first time we talked about Flat Earth. We were interviewed by Connie Rabasco and one other person, and he did it 1 hour. I did 1 hour separately. They interviewed us back to back and it got brought up and we vaguely talked about it. That was the last time. Cause then I took almost 3 years off. And during that time he passed in January of last year. And I didn't come back to doing shows until, the fall. So from like late 2012, it was me, Justin, and James, cause James joined the board after being a regular caller and a big time contributor on the forums we were on and whatnot.
Good. I just thought I'd get that in. Well, I know we're turning about coming back to the beginning slightly, but so we want to know like what got you started on the path of finding the truth. And obviously you've briefly touched on it. It was 9/11, but can you elaborate more on that now and tell me why it's your like passion?
Why it became my passion? Because yeah. I hate being lied to, and I can see, you know, with all the things we look into, really, with the exception of maybe one big one, I can see how they're all, you know, deceptions to control us. And using the fear, you know, is huge. This fear propaganda that they use on everybody, whether it's from 9/11 to mass shootings, which we're going to get into, you know, to fear of pushing like the Ebola hoax, which I covered. I did a blog on that when that mm-hmm. happened. It's all, you know, when you're in a state of yeah. fear, you can't critically think, you can't recognize a system that controls you. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Absolutely.
So I just keep looking. I don't like being lied to, and, I'm done with doing petty shit with my free time. And don't get me wrong. Like, you know, maybe once in a great while we can go to a baseball game or something, but I used to do that shit all the time. I used to go to the club all the time, stuff like that. I gave up doing that years ago. I got rid of watching TV 6 years ago, like in 2012, I never even had it, just kept sitting there and I'm just researching. So when the 9/11 stuff happened, you got to remember 9/11 is the biggest, you know, whatever your opinion is on it. And you guys are going to hear my theories on it, obviously. It's the most covered event of all time. So there's tons of coverage of it. So YouTube just absolutely blew up with 9/11 stuff. And I just totally went all in and studying all the footage and all the stills and then looking into everybody's different research and then finding out that a lot of these 9/11 truthers were just like Alex Jones. And that was very disappointing. And I made a lot of, you know, a lot of you could say enemies, but I made, you know, legit calls to people to call them out on their work. People like Judy Wood, they played absolutely ridiculous, basically shill tactics on me, muted me while they badmouthed me. They told people that I was running a psyop on America by not addressing her as Judy. I mean, not addressing her as doctor every time I said her name. This is the type of stuff like Joe Rogan and Neil deGrasse pull when you know you don't have a lab coat, you're not a scientist, you don't get an opinion. You know what I mean? It's the same type of shit.
So, I mean, could elaborate? What type of, like, comeback did you get from all these people? You know what I mean? Did you get death threats type of thing? Do you know, like, was he coming at you full force? Was he trying to discredit all the work that you was doing? What type of things did he do to you?
There was a little bit of everything. So with this particular case that I was talking about, I called her twice on two shows, once on Late Night in the Midlands, and once on the Peter Santilli show, just because, you know, people running with, and I'm not saying directed energy weapons don't exist, but I'm just saying there is no proof of it on 9/11. And her evidence, she literally had Photoshop pictures of Ground Zero. All her pictures of these toasted cars were taken from one source, and none of them had license plate. It was the one common thing, and it looked like they were towed out of a junkyard. So I brought that up to her on the phone, you know, and then, you know, she's like, well, I don't deal in theory. I only deal in fact. And I'm like, telling people a directed energy weapon destroyed the fucking Twin Towers isn't a theory? I mean, wow, really full of herself. You have to buy my – you won't know the truth of 9/11 unless you buy my book. And then to get into what you asked about, at the end of it with the second call with Peter Santilli, he literally – took my – he went in Whois domain where you can see where websites are registered. And I didn't know that when you register a website with your credit card, your fucking address becomes public. I didn't know that. And my phone number. I had no idea. That's so ridiculous, right? You wouldn't think that, you know? And he got my information, and he went on beforeitsnews.com, which is full of a lot of disinformation, but there is some good stuff too, if buried within. But there's millions and millions of people. And he told people my views on 9/11, told them to come get me, and said, Brian Stavely can't hide. And I put the address like 295 Dutton Street, apartment 3C, put my phone number. Luckily, I had moved like 6 months before, you know, before he posted this. I wasn't in that apartment anymore, but who knows, you know? And I don't worry about that, though. I don't let the fear of that get into me, you know? And then there was other stuff, like the stuff that went down with September Clues and all that, where it's more of a, you know, bullying, assault on the internet. And Gloria, you read those blogs about me. Remember I showed you about are there really any shills online, and my pictures on the face of it? And there's like 33 pages about me.
Absolutely, yes.
So was your opinion the same as Justin's and James's? Did you like butt heads, or was you all agreeing on everything?
No, we didn't. We agreed on most, and we came through the same steps, the same phases, the same research. We shared the same research. When these other researchers put stuff out, even people like Judy Wood, they act like I didn't look at her research. I had all her images. People I know had her book. We read all different parts of it. Like, these people, they don't know how much we really looked into this. We agreed on just about all of it. The one thing that they didn't want to go to the as far as me on was the amount of deaths, because I don't think anybody died. And they I believe James and Justin believe the same, but Justin wants to leave it open a little more. And I don't have a problem with it. People say, well, what if 100 or 200? I could see that, okay? But not, you know, but I don't believe that at all. You know, I don't believe any did. And but I think I think we're pretty close to agreement on that. But the thing that we differ a little bit is the collapse footage. I don't think the collapse footage is real.
Right. So what made you guys, obviously you were researching together, sharing stuff together. What made you guys stand out from other 9/11 researchers? What did you do, like, to, you know, your research to stand out above everyone else's?
Well, I don't know if it was above everyone else's, but people certainly took notice. I would say because so there were other people out there with information, and I will give credit where credit's due with September Clues. Their movie was great, and it really showed you the media fakery with the second plane. I'd be lying if I didn't say that movie wasn't huge for me. But it wasn't crystal clear message. There was a lot of imagery flash in front of you. There weren't really a lot of radio shows. There were people like Fetzer, which we'll talk about because I did three shows with him. But I was like one of the only ones really setting up his own thing and really putting it out there. And I think people liked my passion a lot. I don't know, because I really got fired up about 9/11. I know you guys have seen me get fired up about some stuff. But I get really fired up about that topic. Like, I was really, you know, especially.
Well, while you've mentioned it, why do you believe you get so fired up? Is there more to it than just being the great lie? Or do you believe you get more passionate about it because that was the first thing that caught your attention?
The size of the lie, because that was supposedly much like the moon landing or the JFK assassination for people before our time. That was the biggest event of our lifetime. Well, so we're told. We're led to believe that, and then it's put in history that way, so therefore it is, right?
Right. So like I said, we'll move on slightly now to we'll go back to it. So just want to know.
Let's move along the timeline a little.
What are you currently searching now? What's catching your attention now?
Well, why don't we, can we backtrack a little and go from there? Because that kind of leads into this. From 9/11 and look at it, media fakery, basically. And when I say media fakery, I mean CGI, green screens. I also mean what people refer to as crisis actors, although I don't like using that term. I never did, because some of the people that first put it out put a lot of disinformation attached to it, showed a lot of people, said this person's really that person, this and that shit, and it wasn't. People like Dallas Goldbug, well aware one. Definitely don't recommend that. So, I mean, but what people generally have a perception of crisis actors being, so stuff like that, fake terror events, fake shootings. I believe all the mass shootings have been fake. I've said that since the day Sandy Hook happened, when Robbie Parker exposed himself. And we're going to get into Sandy Hook in a minute, because that's the second one on the list here in the progression. So 9/11 led me into looking into media fakery, big government lies, and it took me to the Apollo moon landings. And that was in... I did a show on it with Justin in April 2012, so I would say it was early 2012, maybe late 2011. I started poking around at Apollo. It was fairly early for, you know, a lot of the people in the circles we're amongst. They don't look at Apollo that early, you know?
So you obviously you're talking about the media and the crisis actors and false flags. Do you believe they're all false flags? All the actors?
Well, let me clarify what you're saying, though. I believe they're all false flags, but I believe underneath the umbrella of false flags comes total hoax. And I believe, all, at least in the United States, I'll say, and at least since 2001, I believe all the terror attacks and all the mass shootings are 100% hoaxes and nobody gets injured. And if you think about it, that's how these people can get on camera and lie about it and laugh about it. You see the shooting the other day in California? I mean, no, where was it? Nevada? Was it Nevada? The borderline grill? Where was that one?
I thought it was California, but it might be wrong. Yeah,
who cares? I don't even care. I don't even look at those anymore, because they're on camera laughing. And that's why they could laugh. Even if one person really got hurt, these people wouldn't all be on camera laughing. That's how they participate. That's how they keep people quiet. That's how they keep people from being whistleblowers. As bad as it is what they're doing, it's totally different when somebody dies. And then over and over again, these death records are sealed. Or there's nobody listening to the Social Security Death Index, just like with 9/11. You know what I mean? There's 2,500 missing names from the Social Security Death Index. There's only 59 families or so. It might be like up to 62 that supposedly collected the victim compensation benefits. That's $2.3 million plus for each family. Out of 2,996 families, that'd be 2,996 people down there the next day that check's available to collect their free money. Sorry, I would too. Anybody would. Why wouldn't you? Of course you would. You'd be a fool not to. So I got into Apollo after that, Paul. If we can talk about Apollo a little bit. I got into Apollo, and it's funny because a minute ago we talked about 9/11 and JFK and Apollo being in the same league, right? As far as what generation you grew up, how big an event it is. When you look into and 9/11 to get to where I'm at now took years of going through layers and layers of it, and your opinion keeps changing. When you look at Apollo with those same critical eyes, Paul, I mean, it's a weekend conspiracy. Mm-hmm. It's terrible. I mean, you see wire harnesses in the footage. You see you can see it pinging. You see footage with them where they're getting picked up like by the back of their feet first, like, you know, because they're on a pulley. Well, it goes on and on. And I get to give a shout out to Batsa Brel for a funny thing happened on the way to the moon. Excellent. And Astronauts Gone Wild. And I know I did a short video on the Apollo moon hoax last week or just a few days ago, whatever it was. And I played some clips from that. You know, it's just exposed in so many ways. There's absolutely no doubt about it. There's no, when you start to think, so, you know, maybe when people first get into Apollo, I could see if that's their first one, it might take them years because of that trust they have in the foundation, right? NASA, yeah. The government. But once you're already past 9/11, if 9/11 comes first, the trust in that foundation doesn't exist. So I'm already looking with a critical eye at that shit, and it's a joke. It's just as bad as the second plane on 9/11. You know what I mean?
So you talk about like a natural progression from topic yeah. to topic to topic, because obviously then you, it's even now you could go back and look at a specific topic with fresh eyes, and you can always pick up new things that you always miss, because you always do miss things. But like you just mentioned, it always gets me is how people cannot look critically at, because some of these errors like 9/11, the Apollo that you just mentioned are obvious, they're blatant. And what's your opinion on that? Do you think it's more than just like being how people say indoctrinated? Do you believe it's more? What? Why do you think this is happening where people can't see basic things in front of their eyes? Why don't they believe it? I mean, how deep do you think it goes?
Well, I mean, I think it's mostly indoctrination. I can't really skip around that. I mean, that's how they get people to that point. It starts with the media. It starts with the schools. Let me say this, you know, the biggest enemies we have is NASA and the mainstream media, and they go hand in hand. And of course, you have to tie in royalty. You have to tie in people that run the financial system. And there's a lot of pieces to this. I never say there's one ultimate truth. I never say there's one ultimate enemy. Obviously, we got the Vatican. You know, we got the Jesuits. We got the Zionists. You know, there's all this is put together. But the media and NASA, what they've been doing to people and that indoctrination, to me, it's crazy. And you know, because back to Apollo, I start looking at Apollo, and yes, while I say the moon landing is a weekend conspiracy, it leads you to other things, and led me to questioning satellites, you know, and yeah. Then the ISS, and that's where I was at on 2013, and then that progressed further. But if I can backtrack a second back to another topic I hit on 2012. There was the Gabby Gifford shooting, which might have been 2011 or it was 2012, but it was before Sandy Hook. And that was obviously a fake shooting. And I mean, she was up fucking saying half her brain didn't work and she's playing the freaking flute with it. And she's there chilling with her husband, who's one of the Kellys, the twin astronauts, the one, Gloria, you know, the one I told you about that was supposedly on the ISS for 666 days.
Yes.
So yeah, his twin brother is married to Gabby Giffords, who faked one of the first biggest shootings, you know, in my time of researching at least. And then Paul, that got into, you know, Sandy Hook came next. And like I said, and you saw me put a poll of this up on Facebook, and I don't want people to say, oh, you just said this about the moon landing, but I always compare the two. I say Sandy Hook and the moon landing are the two. You got to have one of them is the easiest one, because that took that. We knew that on the day, because Robbie Parker was exposing himself, tweeting that he knew his daughter was dead. And then he's tweeting that she's all right. Like, you would ever put it out if you weren't 100% sure that your daughter was dead. And then, you know, they put out before they could pull it down, they put a like a, not a GoFundMe, but a, I forget the name of the fundraiser. I have it saved though. Victoria Soto was the principal or the teacher. And I had the, she set it up. They set it up 3 days prior. 3 days prior, they set it up, you know. So, Sandy Hook was obviously a hoax.
So then, you believe like Sandy Hook and the Gifford one are like the dawn, the start of the false flags crisis actor generation. Do you think that's where it all started?
I believe the Giffords was the big one that set it off, actually. People might disagree and say Sandy Hook. But when the Giffords one got set off, that's when we started seeing this, because there were people that were at that shooting that were at another one. And then that's kind of where it started, and everybody started poking around at that thing. I remember it clearly, for sure. And then after Sandy Hook, when we're getting into the shootings, and I want to get back to the NASA type of stuff, getting into the shootings. After that, there was like the Aurora one, Colorado, at the Dark Knight movie, the Batman movie, and you got The Witness that comes out. And we didn't even talk about Robbie Park yet, which I hope everybody knows is a friggin' joke. The guy in Sandy Hook, his daughter Emily was supposedly murdered hours ago, and he comes out before he thinks the cameras are rolling. He's laughing. Then he takes three deep breaths. He goes into character, and it's like, how can you believe these people? And then we got the guy who is in the Batman movie, and he comes out, and they're interviewing him, and supposedly 12 people just got killed in there. And he's all excited about the movie, and he keeps talking about it. And then in the end, he's like, I thought I was going to die, man. And then he's holding up the ticket. He's like, I still got my ticket. He's like Willy Rodriguez from 9/11, the janitor with the magic key. He still walks around with the key that he says he ran in the towers and let everybody else and all this and that. And by the way, he called me twice, too. I had to deal with him for several hours on the phone and his absolute nonsense. So, no. Yeah. It's crazy. So I don't, you know, with as far as the shootings, and I still looked a little bit, but by the time it got to Vegas or even the Ariana Grande, one is the first strike I got on YouTube, but that's before I ever started doing shows. For those that don't know, we do shows regularly every Saturday usually, and we do these interviews, whatever, in between. We usually do our regular show on Saturday, but seeing it's my interview, I got a big mouth, probably a lot to say. It's going to take up a whole few hours today. So we're going to do that. But the first time I ever got a strike was before I started doing shows, so it didn't really matter to me that I couldn't broadcast live because I wasn't doing live things. It was exposing the Ariana Grande, which was terrible because they there was literally a video that got out. It was like 30 seconds long, and it showed cops literally getting undressed and dressing up as like victims and witnesses to the bombing. It was so stupid. And I saw like 5 minutes of footage of that night, Paul. And I was like, man, this is – I'm not even bothering with this. So like when these little ones happen, like who's the guy, the David Hogg? Which one is that? Is that Parkland, Paul?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I think so, yeah. Famous David Hogg.
I saw that first interview with him and the two girls, and I'm just like, this is – you know. And then he's out there days later talking about fucking gun rights, pushing left and right politics, even mentioning congressmen or senators by their name. Like, oh, yeah, I'm sure that this kid knows about all that shit being in high school, allegedly in high school.
Host me to ask, is that type of things, is it still prevalent now in the States, David Hogg and this no guns movement? Was that over here, it's got died down?
I think so, Paul, but I think the vibe that you get on Facebook and YouTube of what the people are doing in the States is the same vibe I get, because I pay zero attention to the mainstream news and media at this point. Like, I don't even do it to debunk what they're saying, because I already know it's all absolute complete bullshit. I can't stand to watch it. I live in a house with somebody who's a Trump supporter. He got the sticker on his car. He got the red hat, Make America Great Again, and everything. It's fucking crazy, dude. Crazy. Crazy, I tell you. It is crazy, and I didn't even talk about that. So the political system, can we talk about that for a second?
Well, you're not going to tell us that you're into Hillary, are you?
No. As far as that goes, it didn't take 9/11 for me. I've never voted. I've never bought into that. When I was a little kid, I would always ask my parents and everybody else, how does it even make sense if you have to vote for somebody based on what party you're in? That's like picking – I used to compare it to baseball. That's like picking the dream team but only picking guys from the National League. It like doesn't even make any sense. Never, and I never understood the Electoral College, basically. So stupid. And even that doesn't even really count, and we know that. So I've never bought into any of that. And I don't know how people get pretty what you seem to be pretty far in the so-called truth movement, and they still believe in things like that, like Trump and whatnot. It's pretty crazy to me. But I want to get back to NASA. So I was looking at Apollo, because this is big for me, you know. I was looking at Apollo, started looking at satellites, you know, and then I realized satellites weren't real. At least they weren't in space. Then I started looking into the ISS, and the ISS – man, it's worse than Sandy Hook. It's worse than 9/11. It's the ISS, and we've done a show on this, but for those that don't know, the ISS, it's an absolute joke. I mean, you can see people on wire harnesses. You can see, you know, one time they're trying to show you something's floating, but they'll drop like a screw and it'll fall and hit the floor. It's like, it's absolutely ridiculous. There's videos where you can see the Earth rotating opposite directions. It changes directions. There's all types of computer video glitches with the ISS, so it didn't take me long to see through the ISS. And then in 2014, the big thing happened, Paul. And, you know, I started you know, I started seeing, hearing about the issues with the GPS in the Southern Hemisphere and the flight routes not work, you know, being tracked. So I looked into that a bit, and that led me into, you know, led me looking into the flat earth material. And there wasn't, hold on 1 second. Yeah. So there wasn't any, there was no Eric Dubé 200 proofs then. There was no Mark Sargent flat earth clues. There was Matthew Powerland, who I think is absolutely fucking out of his mind right now. And he had a couple. Oh, he is. I got to tell people because I don't want them to say, oh, he said this guy was the first guy he saw and he's recommending it, because I'm not recommending it, because the guy is just an a-hole now. All he does is start trouble and drama. But his first few videos were really good. The photo or painting one was really good. And it really got you to think about the imagery of the earth. And I saw a video, though, a few months before that about flat earth that I did share. First time I shared a flat earth video was in, like, the early fall of 2014. And it was, like, meant to be, like, a disinformation piece kind of by a – what is it called? They have these little short video series, like, stuff they don't want you to really know or something like that, you know? And it's like, 3 minutes, and it puts a bunch of disinformation. But at the beginning, this is what it says, Paul, and we were just talking about this, Gloria. It says, well, flat earth is don't – in. They don't have any faith in what they're told of from science, and they believe that, you know, they believe that the pictures of Earth could be photoshopped. And I'm like, I could definitely believe that. I'm gonna have to take a look at this. You know what I mean? And that's where it took me. It took me that, and I had to put the little pieces together. Okay, the pictures are fake. Satellites are fake. The flight routes, they're shutting off the GPS. Then it didn't take long, you know? And then I started seeing it for what it is. What we've been, to my opinion, people want to know. I'll just put it out there right now. We absolutely live on a motionless plane. You can call it whatever you want. It's not a spinning globe. We don't live in outer space. We don't do all this crazy movement. It's very obvious by a lot of things. Number one, you could start with the parallax in the sky. The stars, year after year, return to the same spot. They're supposedly in other galaxies and everything, and we're doing all these different motions where the Earth is going around the sun. The Earth is supposedly spinning at 1,038 miles an hour. We don't feel it. It's going around the sun at 66,600 miles an hour, of course. We don't feel it. It's curved at 0.66 feet per mile squared. We can't measure it. We can't see it. Okay, this is just all absolute nonsense. And while we're doing all this, and the sun is supposedly dragging us along with it, and it's doing, like, I forget, Paul, the numbers are all fake anyways. What is it, 2 million miles an hour? Is it 2 million?
Yeah, something stupid like that.
It might be 500,000, and then the galaxy's doing 2 million.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's 66,000, then it goes up to 1.2 million, and then another one, I think.
It's yeah. So whatever it is, right? So we're doing all this fucking crazy shit like this, right? But the stars every year, I mean, it's just, no, everything's rotating above us. The sun and moon are very close, and I'm going to give my opinion on what those are on the show, I'm sure. I would also like to mention, I got into looking into, I saw two suns one day, right when I started looking into this, or maybe before it, in the sky, two suns. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I thought it was Planet Nibiru, because I wasn't past that point where I believe stuff like that. I mean,
sorry, not to backtrack or anything, but did you have was it an aha moment of flat earth? Did you like, oh my God, this is epic? Or was it just a nice, slow, natural progression from the moon to the satellites to then observing where you're actually standing? Or was it like an epiphany?
I'd say it was a slow, natural progression. And then when I got to the point of seeing stuff like probably Dave Murphy's late night interview, and which was later actually, so probably stuff like, and this is several months after I was already in, Eric Dubé's 200 proofs came out, and as much as some of his behavior I absolutely question, the video was very good at the time, because no, I had already believed and this was what was going on, and I had thought to piece a lot of it together, but to have 200 facts laid out in front of me, then many which I hadn't heard, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it was very helpful, and it helped me kind of put it all together more. And then there were other key moments, like along the way. And this is after I knew, but you know, there's things that cemented for you. There's a lad called Josh Nowicki, He made a call one day to a show. Actually, he put it on his call to a show. He put a video up of photos that he took of Chicago from across Lake Michigan, 60 miles. And with the alleged curvature of the earth, that should be 2,400 feet. And what we mean is if you are on a ball, it has to curve. So there is a formula with the distances that they give us. And at 60 miles, the entire Chicago skyline, even the tallest building, which is the Sears Tower, no small building, would still the top of it would be 1,000 feet below where you would even be able to see it. But you can see the whole thing right in front of you. So then they do damage control a night or two later. And this was so huge for Flat Earth, I believe. They do damage control a night or two later, and the weatherman comes out on TV and he's like, you know, pictures from Josh and Nowicki. And normally you wouldn't be able to see this from the Lake Michigan shore, but what you're seeing here is a mirage. And then he starts to explain how it's the hot air and the cold air lifting the image up. And when you get deeper looking into it, you actually know, first of all, a mirage is not going to be crystal clear like that. It's not going to be consistent. You know what I mean? It's ridiculous to think that. Second of all, they're inverted. This was not inverted. And, you know, it's just, it's that. And third of all, refraction actually brings images down, not up. So
So while we're talking about flat earth type of thing, I want your opinion on, you've mentioned like Alec Jones for the alt media. Do you reckon there are gatekeepers in flat earth, etc.?
I reckon there's probably a couple. I'm not going to point any fingers and say any names right now, though. It's not what I want to do. And I reckon there's probably most of probably very well-meaning people that just butt heads and get very passionate, and shit gets slang back and forth, and it's very unnecessary. And that's my opinion. People can say that, oh, this person, every person with a big channel is a gate. I absolutely do not believe that. I believe maybe there's one or two out of the well-known people, and you know that's up to other people to decide who that is, because I'm not going to spread those type of rumors. I don't want to do that.
That would like go nicely to this next question I want to ask. You have been labelled amongst being a tranny, obviously, and now and gatekeepers and shills yourself. Why do you believe you seem to get targeted more than others?
Because I'm not a one topic guy. I think that's the main reason. And I honestly think because I can present my point of view well, and I can come with a comeback, and I can have a back and forth, and these people have nothing. They have nothing else. They won't call in. Every time they do this, call in. I give them the number. They won't debate me. They won't do anything that's not scripted where they can sit there for days and type something up. And even when they do, it's never even anything of any substance. It's just, you know, fuck you. And, you know, you're a shill and this and that. And one of the other bigger things is people have a big problem with, you know, it's the same thing that I research other topics, and it's in all the communities. And they'll do is they'll say, just like with 9/11, they'll say, oh, 9/11, those no planers are there to discredit the movement. Flat Earth is there to make the truth movement look stupid. People that research Mandela Effect, which we're going to get into soon, so hang tight, Gloria. So people that look into Mandela Effect, oh, they just have bad memories. It's like you just hear the same shit over and over. And, you know, I get attacked a lot. And the funny thing is, Paul, is I don't go in Flat Earth groups and make Mandela Effect posts. I don't go in Mandela Effect and make flat earth. I don't go in 9/11 and post about vaccines. Like, I stay on topic. Other people do that, and then there's a conversation going, and when I put my 2 cents in, or even when I'm asked a question, it always seems to be a problem. And all I'm doing is spitting out the truth that they might have never heard, but if they'd actually look into what I'm saying, and then they won't. They just keep swearing, how are you going to say this? Well, okay, well, why is there, like, my favorite point of 9/11, if you don't mind me saying, people say, oh, did this kid earlier say that he thinks nobody died? Well, you know, 9/11, the most covered media event of all time. It's in the media capital of the world, New York City. Agreed? Everybody agree with that? At least the media capital of the United States, probably the world. All right, either or, whatever. So it's the media capital of the world. And they tell you that 52 amateurs caught an off-course, unexpected jet doing 550 miles an hour in the most crowded skyline. Right? Not one single of those cameras panned down to the street to film the chaos below, which would have been over an hour before the buildings came down. And if 47,000 people died inside, that means everybody didn't make it out. So that means for an hour, people are trying to get out. So that means 47,000, I mean, if 3,000 died, 47,000 came out. So if 47,000 people streamed out of the towers, not one of these people filmed it. But then better yet, not only is it in the media's backyard, the media was already there. By evidence of what you saw in my intro with the Holly guy, or if the intro even played, I know we had a little issue earlier. With the Holly guy and these other people, they were allegedly interviewing on the street. I'm not sure how much of that was even green screened, how much was on the street. I think most was probably green screened. You know, by evidence of that, if that was indeed true, then where are all the people in the footage? I know you see people in dust clouds and streets. There is no footage of people leaving those buildings on 9/11. And on top of that, this is like, that would be the Pulitzer Prize winning shot of all time. Most dramatic footage of all time. Every reporter would die to get that shot. And we are told there were four helicopters in the air and none of them panned down. They all just filmed the hole in the building. And then you want to say, oh, well, blah, 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 blah. And then on top of that, there's 2,500 missing death certificates. People aren't picking up the death benefits. And there's thousands of Photoshop pictures in the memorials. And there were tons of floors that were never even built. So, you know, you can brush all that aside and call me a loser and a lunatic, but I want to see you explain away those things.
Definitely. I mean, like I said, back to the Flat Earth, the question I want to ask is, what do you see the future of Flat Earth type thing? Where do you think it's going to go? Do you believe it'll ever get the proof? Do you think it will come out? What's your opinion how it's going to go?
I think it's going to come out. I have a few thoughts and some reservations. I think it's going to come out. I think it needs to come out sooner rather than later, because my fear with that, one, is the self-destruction of the community, which we see all the time. So the longer this gets dragged out, the bigger of a problem that's going to become. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yep.
The arrogance amongst the people, the know-it-allness. But the other thing is, and I also believe in Project Bluebeam, which we talked about. I actually believe it's already in use in many, many, many aspects. I believe the technology, the way it is now, with their lighting technology, with the graphics and the shadows and the holograms, I believe if we wait too long, it's going to be too indistinguishable from what's real. And, you know, it's going to be very hard for everybody not to fall into that type of one world government, one world religion type of trap that could be forced with a fake alien invasion type of thing. So I believe it needs to come to the tipping point soon. But I don't think it's going to get there if people don't start researching more than one topic and putting the whole puzzle together and sharing all their information. We're never going to get to that breaking point, because it's not just Flat Earth. It's not just 9/11. It's not just chemtrails, vaccines. It's not just Mandela Effect. It's not just whatever your passion is. It's all of it together, and everybody has to start sharing information and at least be open to what people say. Maybe you work 80 hours in a week and you only have time to look at one topic. Don't, you know, tell people off and they're idiots and call their thing a psyop, which I get all the time, because, you know, I choose to have time to research 2, 3, 4 topics real deeply, you know? So I think it's getting there. I see a big awakening. Since 2014, it was a little slow. It picked up in 2016 a lot, like say with the Flat Earth thing, with B.O.B. was another big thing. When he did that song against Neil deGrasse Tyson, and then Neil deGrasse came back on Comedy Central and made an ass out of himself on TV and he dropped the mic and all that. That was really big and kind of got the Flat Earth ball rolling. But I do see it a little stale lately as far as the conversation not progressing. And that's why I always talk about things that progress the conversation. And I talk about things like the solar simulator. Paul, I know you talk about things like what the firmament's made of. We've also talked about how it operates, this and that. When those types of conversations are discouraged, I just tend to leave different groups and stuff, because I can't deal with that. Like, why is this being discouraged? Yes, we know. Maybe not the main groups, and on my wall I get it in versus groups, like the Globeverse for the Flat Earth discussion groups. That's very good to stay on the no curve, no spin. We me and you, we know this. People in these groups, we got to progress the conversation at some point, you know? And when I get shit on for that, it's very discouraging. That's what I hate seeing right now.
So why do you believe the one topic, watching the one topic for some people is too much to ignore? Is, do you believe it's arrogance, or do you think they're scared? Why do you think people just want to stay to one topic in regard to Flat Earth?
The first thing you said. I think it's arrogance. I think it's a lot of things, different people, you know, but arrogance is probably the leading one. They get to a point where, oh, this is the biggest conspiracy ever. I know this, 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 and that. Everybody else doesn't. And I'm very smart. And I know flat earthers and enough Trump supporters, and it's, you know, how do you believe in the two-party system and you're a flat earther? I think that he's going to come save us. It's crazy to me, man. He's going to expose the flat earth.
So, you're going to have a break. Do you want to talk about your next one? Is Glory taking over? What? How do you see this progressing?
No, I want to talk about the next topic that I came to, and then with Gloria and you. You know, I know you could chime in. And then what we're going to do is we'll take a quick break, and we'll come back, and we're going to go with more open discussion where we're going to, you know, get deeper into these topics, some other side topics, yeah. Other things I'm looking at now. And, Paul's still going to ask me the other questions, like how this has affected me and stuff like that. I want you to actually ask me those before the break, Paul, the last
one. Oh, yeah. Time. I didn't know whether you wanted it after the Mandela or before the break.
Yeah, after the Mandela. We're going to do the Mandela now.
Okay.
Do those last few questions, and then we'll take the break, come back, and all open right. Everything up. We'll open the phone lines, guys. We'll open the chat, and all that good stuff. So back in 2014, when I started, it's right after I started looking into the flat Earth stuff. I think it was actually Mike Guadio that you guys know from the My Awakening interview that we did, and we did another show with him about the ancient giants and all that, and we had Mike on. Remember that show, Paul?
Yeah.
Well, he sent me a thing with the Berenstain Bears. Gloria, I'm sure you're probably sick of hearing about the Berenstain Bears because you probably heard it a billion times, but the Berenstain Bears thing, and I grew up with those books. I remember the Berenstain books as a kid. And then, you know, the spelling now is Berenstain. You know, that threw me off a real lot. And I was like, wow, this is crazy. And then the JFK assassination was like the second thing that was brought up to me out of all the Mandela effects, you know. The JFK assassination, I always remember with four people in the car. I remember distinctly, as many, many people do, and this is where the shocking thing comes in. Many, many people do. The driver reached back like this with, you couldn't make out a gun, but looked like a motion like he might be holding a gun, right? Do you guys know the footage I'm talking about?
Yeah.
That footage no longer exists, and now the car has six seats in it, and there's two windshields. Like, if a president got shot in a car that had two windshields, we would absolutely remember that, you know? And then it just started being thing after thing upon that. A whole lot of things that really shook my world with that. It was at first I took it almost as like, at first it really shocked me, the Mandela effect. And then I kind of went into a phase where I used it to unwind from researching flat earth. I'd look into the music ones, this, that, and the other thing. And then over the last several months, I've really got into it more. Like the last maybe 6 months, I've really been into it pretty deep. And, you know, there's just a whole bunch of things that are too big for me to ignore, like C-3PO, you know, I'm not going to go on forever about it, but, you know, this would be the first time a lot of people hear me talk. And Star Wars was huge for me growing up. I know, Paul, it was for you as well. Yeah. And C-3PO, everybody knows he's the all-gold robot, and now he's always had a silver leg, and people try and come up with every excuse why Mandela Effect is bullshit. Well, Star Wars has the Blu-ray, the remastered, the time they inserted the CGI, all these releases. It doesn't matter, though. That's not what happened, because you can put in any version, even the one that's been sitting on your shelf. And now he has a silver leg. And then on top of that, it's Ed McMahon's got to be, you know, Ed McMahon is from my hometown. Everybody knows Ed McMahon did publish Clearing House. He went around door to door. Huge, giant checks. I remember him holding balloons as well. And he would give people $10 million publisher's Clearing House check. And now that's never been part of our reality. Yet there's residue of all these things. So I got really deep into this topic, especially the last several months. It seems like it's accelerating for me.
I mean, for anyone that doesn't know, sorry to interrupt, tell them what residue is.
Yeah, residue is like evidence that's left over, or like conversations that people had, or products that were made of something that has changed, but they reflect what we all remember. For instance, C-3PO we're talking about, there's toys and blankets and all types of merchandise, and there's even pictures of Anthony Daniels in the suit himself filming the movie with George Lucas and Mark Hamill, who's also been affected, by the way, and C-3PO, and he's got the all gold suit on, but we're told he's always had a silver leg now, and it's in the footage in the movies. We have all this evidence that matches what we remember. And with the music ones, it's crazy, because those ones really get me. You know, I mean, we don't talk about them as much because it's probably not as many. There are so many though, actually. And the music ones are so screwy because, okay, a song you know the lyrics to, and you know, and thousands of people know, the lyrics on the song, on the album version, the video will all be different now. But we'll all remember something different, word for word, the same as each other. And then when they say, "Oh, we're just crazy, collectively misremembering," you'll find that one real live show of the band themselves that wrote it and performed it, and they're singing it the exact way we remember, but it doesn't match their album. So we're all crazy in conjunction with them, all at the same time, all making up the same shit. No, that's not what's happening, you know. And then there's things like, like I said, when you can take the stuff off your shelf. You know, a friend of mine had Wizard of Oz. I told him about this. And he said, "So if we put it in right now, the Scarecrow's gonna have a gun." I said, "Yeah, the Scarecrow, it just got changed. The Scarecrow has a gun now." He said, "In my movie?" I said, "Bro, I don't care when you bought it. If you have it, let's put it in." We put it in. The Scarecrow had a gun. And then months later, he got a wrench, a giant wrench as big as his axe, and that's in the movie now. And it wasn't even in the time we checked for the Scarecrow with the gun. So these things keep changing. You know, Gloria, I mean, you had some questions you wanted to ask me. Why don't you go ahead?
Okay. What was I think I kind of know, but which Mandela effect had the biggest impact on you, where you're like, oh no, there's no way, no way.
Well, that's a combination of a few because they're all the same thing. They're all tied together. I'm gonna have to do, maybe say a tie between two. So let me address both of them. Is that cool?
Okay,
My
sure.
number one and two, because very hard because I kind of flip flopped them. That would be Black Tom, the Statue of Liberty, and Ellis Island. Absolutely ridiculous for me. When I heard that the Statue of Liberty was never on Ellis Island, I damn near lost my mind. That was a huge one for me because, man, I always knew the Statue of Liberty was on Ellis Island. And people say, oh, that's where they just took the immigrants in from. Yeah, I understand they took the immigrants in from there, but that's where the Statue of Liberty was, on Ellis Island. And why would we misremember it as Ellis if it's always been on Liberty Island? The Statue of Liberty being on Liberty Island would be pretty easy to remember. You know what I
Yeah.
mean? And then the bigger part on top of all that is Black Tom. And this ties back into 9/11, Paul. You know, I hear about the Black Tom attack, and you know, supposedly in 1916, two German spies snuck in through New Jersey. They blew up bombs so big that they killed like six, seven people, and the numbers keep changing, but they changed. They killed a few people, destroyed a whole shitload of property, measured 5.5 on the Richter scale, was filmed in Maryland and Philadelphia, they said, right? And it damaged the Statue of Liberty so bad that the torch has never been opened. And bro, I've talked to people that have been to the torch. How has the torch never been opened? Of course, the torch has been opened, but it's never been opened now in this reality. And then the statue itself keeps changing itself. Its cosmetic look keeps changing. Paul, you notice with the book changing position. We noticed when the jumper, not the jumper, who's the person that tried to climb it a few months back, a month or two ago, remember? The fit picture of them, I have a picture of it. You can see they're right behind the back of the statue. Her leg is like coming up off the platform now, like she's trying to step off of it. Now it also has a gold torch. Now they say the story is that the gold torch has been there since renovations in 84 to 86, but no. I was only 5, 6, 7 then, and I remember like a bronze torch my entire life, not this gold torch since I was a little kid.
Right. I agree.
Gloria, you're from New York. What do you remember? Where was the Statue of Liberty where you come from?
Oh, I've never heard of Liberty Island ever, never existed. It was always Ellis Island. But I wanted to ask you, like when you first walked into this and it hit pretty hard. I think it hit most of us really, really hard. What were you thinking, Brian? What did you say to yourself? Are you losing your mind? What's happening? What were you saying to yourself?
No, I don't think I ever thought I was losing my mind. I always felt different. I always felt I was a little special for some reason. And I'm not saying more special than either one of you, because I believe you guys are the same. I always felt there was a connection to something else. I wasn't a religious person. I'm still not. I become more spiritual. I think hitting flat Earth just before the Mandela effect helped ease me into it a little bit. I think it's actually a bigger shocker because your reality is changing around you. It's not just a deception. And when I see things supernaturally changing, for me, that shows us something, a higher power, and a greater consciousness that we all have. And I believe that's what's causing this, which we can elaborate on. I believe it shows me that with this, it's not a conspiracy, this experience, everything else has been a conspiracy I looked into. This is more of an experience. I believe it shows me that, you know, it's like when I looked into flat earth, I realized that science is a lie. After looking into 9/11, you realize government's a lie, NIST, and a lot of science is lying. Then you realize science, mainstream science as a whole is a lie with NASA. And you realize that they're probably hiding something spiritual. And then I come into the Mandela effect. So it kind of was a natural progression type of that to my spiritual awakening too. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it makes a lot of sense. Like everything you're saying is kind of intertwined with each other, right? Everything.
Yeah.
All right. Can I ask you one more question? And I guess if you want to go on break, because I just have to address this because I know you love this topic. But as far as, I mean, we all have our own theories, okay, about the Mandela effect. And I would love for you to share your theory on what is causing it.
Let me take a sip of water.
Yeah, I knew it. That's going to be a big one.
So what I think, I'll tell you what I do. Can I tell you what I don't think first?
Absolutely.
Okay. What I don't think is it's anything that's caused by any man as far as technology, science, computers, these types of things. I don't believe at CERN. I don't believe in any of that. And again, by looking into more topics, that helps me with the Mandela effect now, because if I don't trust NASA, why would I trust CERN? And they're unprovable, untestable claims where they blatantly try to play God. Again, they even claim to have found the God particle. I mean, why would I trust these people? Absolutely not. But the people that I have good friends that are good researchers that do believe in that, and I respect their opinions on that. And we've done roundtables about it many times. One of my best shows was a roundtable where a few of the people think that, and I totally respect that. That's not my view. My view is – and it's changed a little bit before. I used to think different timelines and stuff, but it can't be different timelines, because if we were jumping different timelines, we would all see the same effects at the same time, I believe. The same ones across the board too. There wouldn't be incremental ones. That's what I meant to say. I believe if it was time travel, there wouldn't be residue. I think it's our collective consciousness awakening, and it's tied into these other topics as well, because it's in our consciousness. It's not looking at, oh, I'm a flat earther, I'm a 9/11 truther, or I'm a anti-vaxxer. Or, no, it's a collective consciousness of us becoming aware, realizing the deception around us. I believe that we're all connected. I believe we're probably connected to Polaris and the sun as well with our consciousness. And I believe that some of it is aided along, scurried along, if you will, as done by the creator as a sign to let us know that he or she still exists. I'm more firm on my collective consciousness stance, but I believe that could also be happening because we live in this world of deception. We're kept at this low vibration very intentionally. And that's maybe the only way this entity, God, he, she, it, whatever, can contact us and give us hope and let us know. And also let us know as a whole that this reality that we live in is not reality at all. You know what Bravo. I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Bravo.
Very That's good. What I'm doing. So why don't we take a quick break, everybody in the chat. Just like a 5-minute break. We're going to play a song or two. Everybody go to the bathroom. We'll come back. When we come back, we'll open the phone lines. If you want the number, it's in the show description. If one of you guys can just click show more and just put it in the chat for everybody. But it is right under the video in the show description. And we'll take questions from the chat. So Gloria, Glow13, if you have, just tag her in the chat or ask her a question. She'll probably see it. And she'll relay that to me and Paul. And we're just going to kind of have more of an open conversation. But Paul, I do want you, when we come back, the first thing is if you could ask me those last few questions before we skip around and get all over the place. Is that cool?
Yeah, that's cool.
All right, everybody. So we are listening to Dose of Reality Radio. This is my awakening interview. This is episode 14 in the My Awakening series. Make sure you check out all the other ones. We also do the Dose of Reality radio show, video show now, every Saturday at this time, 2 p.m. Eastern, sometimes 3 p.m. We kind of switched it up to 2. I think that's where we'll stay. Please sub the channel, and we'll be back in about 6 or 7 minutes, and we're going to do some of the more, what would be the more like the final questions of the interview, but then we're going to open up the phones, the chat, and we're going to have more of a back and forth conversation. I want to talk about the solar simulator, Paul. I want to talk about chemtrails. Don't let me forget those topics, okay?
I won't.
All right, everybody. You're listening to Dose of Reality. Brian Stavely, Paul Knight, Gloria Cannata, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
McKinney, yeah. But they can't understand how Bilderberg's hand is behind. white power, black power, better read the art of war. Yo, power, one power, what the fuck you fighting for?
Freedom,
we're standing up to the drama that they do bring. Just check the left hand, see the G-ring. And mock rituals, what are they unleashing? Masonic rituals, live on TV. It's all been exposed, like Versace clothes. Just like MK Ultra, it's all my control. You tripping when you ain't sipping. Have a refill, you feeling like you in prison, huh? That's cause that's real.
Everybody, welcome back to Dose of Reality Radio. I'm normally your host, Brian Stavely, but I am here with I really confused. I was looking at the YouTube screen for a second. I'm like, why am I seeing myself moving? I'm not moving, I'm sitting down. I'm like, oh, I'm not that high, am I? all right, so what I'm gonna do is Paul has a couple more questions that I ask everybody to ask me. Of course, he has some of his own and stuff, and so does Gloria. But after those couple of questions, we're gonna open the phones and we're gonna take the any questions you guys have from the chat. So, Paul, why don't we finish up that first portion of the interview, and right, then we'll do what we're gonna do.
Probably the biggest question, well, it depends on how you look at it, is how's it affected your family since you started coming out doing all these truth videos like 9/11, Flat Earth? I want to know how it's affected your personal life. Parents, brothers, sisters, dad, mum, all that type of thing.
I'd be lying if I said it hasn't been hard. It's gone well with my mother as of late. It never was a real issue. I've got her to listen to some of my points about the Mandela effect and about Flat Earth. She's very, she's not opposed to me about 9/11. But she doesn't believe what I'm saying. But she definitely believes there could be something nefarious going on. But as far as my father, you know, it's been – he's – wow. I showed him – the first person I wanted to call and confide in with was my father when I realized 9/11. And I put together some stuff and a couple documentaries, and I said, Dad, there's something I really need to talk to you about. So can you come over? And he said, yeah, I'll come over. And I showed him, you know, what sounded like bombs going off with the firefighters in the building. Mm-hmm. And he said, oh, no, that's not bombs. That's just the sound of them collapsing and the metals all twisting and it sounds like bombs and this and that. And I was like, wow, I can't really believe my father's acting so idiotic right now. I'm like, yeah. And he's a cop. He's been a cop his whole life. He ends up being, you know, he's very, very indoctrinated. And we still talked after that. Then Sandy Hook happened. And we talked about Sandy Hook. And Sandy Hook happened, and I immediately did a radio show on it. And I built a web page on my website, therealnewsonline.com. If you don't already know my site, therealnewsonline.com, make sure you save it in case my YouTube's ever down or whatever. So I had my Sandy Hook show is there because I can't put that on YouTube. If I put my Sandy Hook show on YouTube, they will close my account. That's the one thing they're not – you can't talk about Sandy Hook. So I won't go too deep into it, but it's on my site. Sandy Hook's the name of the page. So I did the Sandy Hook thing, and he sees my posts. And my father never was like internet type of guy. So he would always call me on the phone. He's my father. He never messaged me on Facebook, nothing. He goes and writes on my Facebook wall, tells me how ashamed he is that he's my father and I should lose his number.
Oh, my God.
And everybody saw it. And I was just like, fuck this guy. And once I talked to him once after that, I called him up. I said, what the fuck is your problem? I don't like your views on Sandy Hook. And I don't like what you've been writing on Facebook. My own father told me to lose the number. And we didn't talk for like 3 whole years, 4 years. And then I was in a situation where we had to talk. we talked like twice and everything was fine. We went out to like dinner like over a year ago. I'd say not the summer that just passed, but the summer before, beginning of the summer. And then Christmas came around, and like 10 days before Christmas came, I come up on my porch. I live with my cousin. He's like, I got to talk to you about something. I'm like, what's up, dude? He's like, hold on, wait a minute. I'm like, what the fuck's going on, you know? And then he's like, you know, I wanted you to hear it from me, but everybody, your dad's having Christmas at his house. Everybody's invited over, but he said specifically, you can't go.
Aww.
And there was no reason for it, like nothing. I didn't have any bad words with him or nothing. He just, for no reason. So fuck him. You know what I mean? I don't know how he's that brainwashed, but so that hasn't gone good. On my mom's side of the family, she's got two brothers that have started looking at some of my posts. I know one of them, Danny, if you're listening, I know you listen to some of the shows. She already told me. And he was asking me questions because of the Apollo stuff I post and the moon landing and the CGI images. We're at a family gathering. My Uncle Steve had passed, and two of my other uncles are asking me about, I see what you're saying about the images being CGI. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, that's not real. Well, why are they fake? I'm like, well, that's what I'm asking you. You know, and I'm not trying to tell you on any of these theories what the ultimate, well, maybe I am sometimes, but the ultimate motive, I mean, you can figure that out for yourself because that's debatable on a lot of things. But the fact remains, you're being lied to about these things right in your face. But yeah, with friends, it hasn't gone well. I have maybe two really, really good friends that I can talk to about this stuff. So that's actually not bad because they are really close friends. But everybody else is just totally brain dead asleep to it. It got out at my work that I believe the earth was flat. They don't know about the Mandela effect yet. So they try and poke fun at me, but you know me. I'll be polite and I'll be like, okay, so why do you believe this? Why do you believe that? And they never have an answer. And, I mean, there's never even a beginning of an answer. You know what I mean? So I'm always open to the discussion on any of these topics. People can debate me on them, whatever, you know? I think the important thing, Paul and Gloria, is let's not have division in these movements over different theories, because how the fuck are we going to go and tell, oh, Paul, you're so wrong because you believe the sky is this, and I'm so right, I believe the moon is that, and we've really only been looking at each of those things for a couple of years in the whole existence of the time we've been here. It's pretty stubborn and arrogant.
No, I agree. Would you say, Brian, like through this whole thing, being on this path is an extremely lonely one, but at the same time, it's a calling. Do you feel like it's so necessary that you'll never back down?
There's no way I can back down. Even, you know, when all that stuff happened and with all the heat I took over 9/11, 2014, I had to take a break. I took a break for like 3 years. I still did all the research, and I still did as much as I do on Facebook now, but I stopped doing radio shows, and I stopped doing interviews. But I'll, you know, sometimes I'll step back like that, and like when the flat earth thing started to pick up motion, even though I had already known for a while, I didn't want to have my face on it, like with the 9/11. I needed a break, and I'm glad I didn't do that, you know. But that's why some people are like, how do you talk about Mandela effect and flat earth? Like, you've been talking about these things for years. I'm like, well, I've done radio for 10 years or 8 years now, and these other types of things I talk about, I took a few years off, so you guys don't know me, and I just started doing YouTube videos, you know. But I love doing the videos now. I feel it's way better than doing just radio. Look at these types of interviews. You can get people's emotion and everything. It's much better. And we have a blast on our other show. So that's a plug for our other show. Normally at this time on Saturdays, we're getting deep into all these topics. And a couple of the other ones, Paul, can we address solar simulator chemtrails?
Yeah, do you want to talk about it now, or do you want to go into
as long as we don't forget it, what else you got? What do you want?
You want to talk about your chemtrails first, didn't you?
Yeah, I do. But before we do that, you know, hang on 1 second. Why don't you talk for a second, and you guys, I'm going to open up the hangout thing so people can call. Give me, I need like 1 minute.
Okay. Hi, Paul.
Oh, my God. It's killing me being so serious.
I know. I'm trying.
No, you guys are doing really good. I think it's going good. I want this to be something all the communities can resonate with and hopefully make people want to share their stories more. And I do want to plug – I got the phone lines open, guys. I'm going to put the phone number in the chat right now.
We're seeing a side to you, Brian. a lot of people, I guess, never seen before.
Anybody wants to call in, it's 978-435-0006. And now is the time, if you have any questions for me, go ahead and ask them in the chat. And Gloria, you got to pay attention to the chat, okay?
Do my best, babe.
All right. And meanwhile, let's go where we were going. I'll do the solar simulator first because I started to get into it and we switched gears. I saw two suns in the sky once in 2014, and I was sure of it. And I asked my friend I was with, look at that. He's like, oh, my God, two suns.
With a naked eye or with a camera?
Naked. I had no camera. Naked eye. Huge. Huge. Mm-hmm. Huge. Same side of the sky, but far away. Okay? So if I'm looking up, one was here. One was out there off to the, what people call west, if one was north. It wasn't like north and south, east and west. They were like this. Huge. And then I started to look into two suns. You know, I start searching two suns, this and that. I come across patents for a solar simulator that was put out by NASA, Boeing, Bausch & Lomb, a few other companies. And it's not just like somebody put this fake rabbit trail. Like, there's extensive patents for all the different components in it and stuff. Boeing did a TV commercial where they're flying this thing over the Earth. And I believe that they absolutely do have at least one, but probably many artificial suns up there. Now, I'm not firm on why I believe 100% why they're doing it. I have some theories, and if you're going to ask me where the real sun is, I'm not sure. If it's still there, I say it's probably in a layer of the firmament. I'm not sure if there's a real sun or if it's just these simulators right now. If there's a real sun, I believe they're blocking the real sun and whatever type of connection we have with our consciousness. Never mind the beneficial things we get from the sun, even more beneficial. Our collective consciousness tying into the chemtrails now is being impeded by the chemtrails. I think chemtrails are not to poison us. And I know people hate that. Listen to me. I'm not saying they're good for you. I'm not saying they don't make you sick. I'm saying that's not the main agenda. If that was the main agenda, would Alex Jones be telling you that on day one of your fucking truth journey? No. No. That's not the main agenda. They'd be poisoning themselves. So what they're doing, I think, is that's a cover because you're going to see that it's happening. They need a gatekeeping it, right? I think that they're there to mask things in the sky, particularly the sun, to possibly lay a better projective surface, which we can get into other things that I believe they're projecting in the sky. And I also believe that the metals that are in it as they are in the atmosphere are impeding our collective consciousness from whatever frequency or vibration we're on from reaching each other. And I believe this also ties in with the giant trees that we researched, Paul. And I know you're really into the crystals and stuff. And I believe that those trees are sort of like outposts for our collective consciousness. And we've talked about this, maybe even amplifies for them. And I believe we're also connected to Polaris as well as the sun. And I also believe one step further that Polaris is the source light of everything, not the sun. And I think you're probably similar on that. We're not the same, but similar. But that's how I feel. I think there's two suns up there. I mean, more than two suns. I think there's artificial suns up there. Also, speaking on that, if people say, oh, that's crazy, there's a lot of people I know in the various communities, especially the flat earth community type people, that have many, many pictures of the sun and the moon. And even just regular people that take pictures with the camera. It's one of the first things to take pictures of. If you go back and look through your pictures, you'll see that many of them have a hexagonal shape to them, exactly like the solar simulator have. And then one step further, I'll take it, that I never heard anybody else talk about, except for myself, is if you look at some of the eclipse footages the last time, the solar eclipse, never mind how fake the fake it looks. There was some shadows that appeared on the ground on a lot of the footages, and it was like honeycombs and honeycombs of hexagonal patterns that appeared on the ground, and people were as well. Man, it's just too many pieces that tie together to me. And Gloria, I know you've talked about this before, and other people have noticed it. It just doesn't react the same to your skin. Mm-hmm. And also, it's white now, like an artificial light. It's not yellow. And I, like I said, it's beneficial for me to be in many communities. I know people think the yellow sun, white sun thing is a Mandela thing. I don't think that's it at all. I think we're seeing a different sun. We're seeing artificial light now. I don't think that we had one real sun that changed into another real sun via a Mandela effect. That's how I feel about those topics.
I agree.
In a nutshell, Paul.
Right. Right. I think that's all the questions, isn't it?
I want to know about the moon, Brian. Can you elaborate what you think the moon is, please?
Sure.
Good.
Okay. First of all, the moon is obviously, maybe you don't know, but you probably know what I think. The moon is obviously not 237,000 miles away. If the moon was 237,000 miles away, how the fuck do you see features on it with your naked eye? Okay. Furthermore, I don't think the moon is the 3,400 miles away or so that a lot of people think that don't believe in NASA. We'll put it that way. Whether it's geocentrist, flat earthers, whatever your theory is. From my observation, let me say it before my observation, you have to remember that the people that gave us the lies about the earth, the solar system, and all this stuff, they are also the ones that put it in our head that the moon and the sun are solid objects that are floating up there. Okay, so let's start from scratch. No favorability to either side. When you look at it, does it look solid to you or does it not look solid to me? Doesn't look solid to me. You can see through it in the daytime. I just don't think that it's solid. I'm sorry. I have no reason to think it's solid. I've seen it glitch out. We've seen Crow's videos back in 2014 with the lunar wave that looks like a resolution issue on it. I think it's an advanced hologram of some sorts. And I know people hate the word hologram. I even used to hate the word hologram because the way it was tied in with 9/11 and the planes and FETs are trying to push holograms and it was really CGI. But I believe that the moon is a hologram or a projection or a projected light, however you want to look at it. You want to tell me that the moon isn't a ball in space, and you want to tell me that it's its own light, but me saying it's a projected light is so crazy? I mean, no. That's what I think. That's what I believe, and I also believe that the sun is not solid. I believe the sun is not a projection. If there is a real sun, which I lean a little more towards that, but Paul, we go back and forth. We've talked about this. If there is a real sun, I believe it's like more of a meeting of different energies, sound frequencies. It would be a lot of it that's causing it. Mm-hmm. And I believe it's more like a meeting point. And I believe the source of it, of the power of it, is Polaris. And I believe that the moon may actually be a distraction to keep us from focusing on the real great light of the night. The light that exposes so much. The heliocentric lies. Shit, you got to think free energy and everything else is tied into this.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. We're so misled on using fossil fuels and such. People think they get fuel from dinosaur bones. I mean, it goes on and on, but everything is tied into this. That's why you got to look at all this shit. I mean, recently we were looking at fossilized giants, possibly, Paul. All very interesting stuff that at first you think is really crazy. The giant trees on flat earth, whatever it's called, no forest on flat earth thing. There's a lot of stuff and there's a lot of pieces to the puzzle. Even as unreligious as I am, and as manipulated as religion and Bible is, there is pieces in there that tie into a lot, at least of the game plan of the elite, it seems. Right?
Yep.
Would you agree with that? Would you agree with they use it to a play as a playbook to some extent?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So I see that as well. You know, so I see that helps me see that these people that rule the world are hell-bent on trying to disprove a creator. They're hell-bent on keeping us thinking our potential is very limited, like how they tell us we only use 10% of our brain and these mm-hmm. types of things. So, I don't know. It's really a big – this whole awakening thing, it's a big process. But that's why I do what I do. You guys see from the time I wake up to the time I go to bed – I mean, I'm just posting, posting, posting. I'm trying to wake people up. And ultimately, I feel what my job is. It's not to be the lead guy in 9/11, the lead guy in Flat Earth, the lead guy in this, lead guy in that. It's to be the guy that's well-versed in everything and tries to bridge those connections and get people to cross over and make their own connections and have an open mind and look at everything, because we need everybody to be sharing their pieces of the puzzle. Like when with Mandela Effect, people are still worried about, oh, who got credit for this? Who came out with this first? Most of you just got it from another video anyways. I mean, it's not something most of you personally dug or stumbled across in your home or whatever. It's you know, let's just share it. You get it out there. You know what I mean? Everybody share their information on all these topics. Be open-minded. Look into what I say about 9/11. If you're interested in my 9/11 work, go to the playlist that says our 9/11 shows, and I put every 9/11 show, at least everyone that was all about 9/11, I uploaded them to YouTube. Most of them are radio shows, only one or two that were on video because I just started doing video. But I uploaded them all, and they're all in order chronologically from 2010 to 2018. In the order that I did them, you can follow along with my progression and not just see what I think now, but see why I came to these conclusions. You can check your facts along the way, and you can decide if it's rubbish, and I guarantee you, you're going to start to follow along with it, and you're going to see what I'm saying. You can do this, you know. Now we do a show every Saturday. I've also been doing short videos here and there in between. I did a Mandela Effect video Thursday. I did a Paul Moonlander one Monday. Paul also does short videos on his channel. And yeah, we do weekly shows every Thursday. We did this today. Even though we didn't do our regular show today, we could probably still do a short Mandela video, Gloria, any night this week. I mean,
yeah, definitely. I think we should.
I think we got enough building up where I don't want to wait all the way to Saturday, but I'm glad we waited another day or two and did this today. So we'll have some more short videos coming out. Yeah, if nobody has any questions in the chat and stuff like that. Oh, and if nobody wants to call in, then we'll probably wrap it up soon. But Gloria, Paul, do you have any other questions?
Right, yeah, just one. I've noticed later, and I've been the same, but this is all about like you tonight, your interview. What are you now labeling yourself as?
Well, and this is funny because I know we brought this up. I've been bringing this up to you a lot in private lately, and it's fine in public. I brought it up in public on a post the other day, but I also brought this up back in the 9/11 day when somebody called me. He was one of those no plane or something, and I said labels. I don't want the labels. I don't want the labels no more. I just want to be known as the guy that's looking for truth, somebody that's looking for knowledge, that's looking for spirituality, that's looking for the connection with people, that's trying to share knowledge. I don't want to be called a no-planer, a flat earther, a 9/11 truther. I know 9/11 is a hoax. I know all the shootings are a hoax. I know the earth is flat. I know it doesn't move. I know NASA is a fraud. I know the Mandela effect is real. I know vaccines are bad for you. I know, at least with some agenda, the chemtrails are real, whatever the agenda is. I know these things. I admit them. I'll research and I'll talk about them. I just don't want the labels anymore. And the reason is, the behavior of people in these communities, and then you get bunched in with that. And see, it's not even like before. It's not even the stigma you have of being a 9/11 truther or a flat earther or one of these things. It's not the stigma you get from the mainstream people. I can deal with that. But when the people that are supposed to be awake give you that type of feeling, I just don't want to be associated with that. And I don't have – people think if you believe in one of these theories and you have one of those labels, you have this firm set of beliefs, this like rule book for these theories that you believe this, and this, because these people, these researchers, these YouTube channels, I disagree with a lot of it though. You know what I mean? So I don't want to, I don't want people to associate me with having those sets of beliefs based on those labels. And most of all, it's people's behavior lately and their know-it-all attitude to people that research other things, the arrogance, and just their absolute rudeness to people and the way they treat people. And I don't want to be a part of that. So I'm just me. I'm doing my thing. If you like it, subscribe, follow me, watch our show. All my links are below. Gloria's Facebook page, Paul's YouTube channel, my Facebook page where I'm super, super active, and our Facebook group. They're all linked below. Make sure you sub this channel. And if you don't like it, you can unsubscribe. You can block me. And you can just go on talking all the shit you want about me. But you know what? I don't let these energy vampires take my time anymore, Paul. That's what's changed over the progression of this. You don't see me making these lots of videos back against people. Like you saw a few months ago. Remember that woman in the Mandela community made the videos on me? They made like those three terrible videos about me. But I don't fire back. You know what I mean? I don't fire back anymore because – it just takes, they're wasting my time, and that's really what they're trying to do, no matter what. And they're just pissing me off. And you know what? Not to sound like, you know, we're at some level that other people are not, but there's different levels, and we've been at this a while. There's people that are newer to this that do know the truth. They can deal with those real aggressive people that are real assholes, because I'm over here trying to progress the conversation. I'm not wasting my time on that. If people have a problem with that, then I'm not the channel you want to follow. That's that. If you want to talk about 9/11, you want to talk about the Mandela effect, you want to talk about flat earth, you want to talk about chemtrails, vax, whatever you want to talk about, it's all good. But if you have a problem that I don't just stay on one topic, or you think your topic is the ultimate truth, I'm probably not the channel for you. And that's that. You know, and anybody's always welcome to call in. If you think I'm just full of shit, anybody's welcome to call. No, I always put that offer out there. Yep. People talk the most, they never call. So, you know, it is what it is.
Good. So I get the last question of the show?
Yeah, go on, man.
You get the last question, and then we'll end the show.
Okay. Before, you said that you have really, you have two really good friends that you could talk to about this. So me and Paul actually offended. So you're saying that we're not your friends? I don't rest yourself.
Well, yeah, no, I have more than four then, if we're talking about people I know on the internet. I have James. I have Mike. I have a lot of friends. I don't want to start naming people because I'll leave so many out. You guys all know who you are. And I hope most of you are watching this. And if you are, thank you. Just remember, this is the 14th episode like this where people have been interviewed in this manner. It's been me interviewing them. But now, obviously, this is my interview. Make sure you check out that playlist. There's something for everybody. People are into different topics. And not everybody came through the same road. A lot of people didn't come through 9/11. We have a call. We're going to take a call. Dose of Reality Radio. You on with Brian Stavely, Paul Knight, and Gloria Cannata. Who's this?
This is Jason, the Thirst of Truth. I just wanted to call in before you guys ended here. I hope I didn't interrupt that last question.
No, it's fine, dude.
I'm at work, and I had to run out. And I'm always at work on Saturday. I put you on Bluetooth and listen to your show. I feel kind of guilty. I get paid for listening to you guys, but, you know, it is what it is. But hello, Gloria. Hello, Paul.
Hi.
Gloria, I hope you switched over to them American spirits. I'm telling you, those things, if you're going to smoke, you might as well.
Actually, I did. Actually,
I guess.
I do. I tried them. I like them.
And they're just, I mean, whatever. But I just wanted to say thank you, Brian, for everything that you do, you've done. I feel you're a great voice of truth on this platform. I mean, there's so many different people out there and this and that. And I originally found you just on one of your songs that you did. Speaking
yes!
of, you still have that other song.
Oh, so my song actually got somebody to look at the research. Which song was it? The NASA one or the Mandela?
Yeah, the NASA one was the first one. That was the first. I didn't, you know, you had like 500 subscribers back then. And I was like, what's this? And I listen to it. I'm like, oh, that's cool. And then I went into your page there and saw the 9/11 stuff with Fetzner. And I was like, let's see what's going on here. Because I put the 9/11 on like cold case files. I knew there was no planes, and that.
Yeah.
I wasn't buying Fetzner's hologram nukes. I mean, we're talking about nukes. And then you got the president and Giuliani down on Ground Zero the very next day, which was like, okay, radiation or whatever from, you know, if there is such a thing as nukes.
Yeah.
But then Judy Wood, oh, I'm sorry, Dr. Judy Wood. I just wasn't feeling her either. So I was like, you know, screw it. You know, no planes, government, this. Back when September Clues, I never did catch their no victims thing. I missed that part.
It wasn't in the movie at all. No, it was much longer after that movie. You would only see it on the forums years later.
I was talking to my dad, like after the Vegas production, I was like, I go, could 9/11 be just like every other thing?
Yep.
And, you know, they had the, the actors there, you know, on the street, Harley Mann and this and that.
Yep.
And then it was shortly after that, started listening to your stuff. And I was like, oh man, there it is right there. Beautiful. Yep. Awesome. Awesome. It was like, and then I just kept listening to your whole playlist there. And I was like, wow, man, I couldn't get enough. It was like all over again, going down the 9/11 rabbit hole all over again, you know? And it was,
yeah,
I just want to say thank you. You're just an amazing voice of truth.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate that. And I really appreciate you're always here. In fact, you're always the first one here. So you're always right, here right, right after on, I set up the show. You're always the first one that pops up in the chat. So I appreciate
and,
that.
And yeah, just want to say thanks to you and everyone involved. It's very, very awesome thing you got going on. Hope you can keep doing what you're doing, brother.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate it. It's great to hear good calls, you know?
Awesome. And I'm going to get back to working for the man. So I'll let you guys go. I've been wanting to call in, especially after I heard Harley call in a week ago or so. I'm like, oh, that's cool. You know, she's in the chat. She called in and it was just kind of neat. I was like trying to get enough courage to, you know, call in.
Yeah. Well, now you did. Like, it'll be easy the second time. So call in again. Call in the next show if you want.
Right on. Awesome, right, man.
We're probably going to do something midweek too, not to cut you off, but we're going to do something. We're not going to wait till Saturday. So.
Awesome. All right, man. Well, I just want to say thank you and keep doing what you guys are doing.
All right, because
the truth is slim to find out there. That's legit and real, you know? So, but thank you.
All right, you guys go. All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All
right. So, Gloria, do you remember what the question was you were asking me?
No, I was just thinking, now you have five friends. I'm just joking. No, I think it's good that we're going to do another video during the week, and we can touch on the Mandela. And, yeah.
Another caller.
They don't want you to go off.
No, that's good. Dose of Reality Radio. You're on with Brian Stavely, Paul Knight, and Gloria Cannata. Who's this?
Aloha, brother. What's up, man? This is Joey Rocha from Hawaii, brother.
Joey, what's up, my man?
How's it going, brother? Love this show. Love you. Love everything you do. You're a hero, brother.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
Hi, Joey.
My only question that I have, brother, that I wanted to call in about, I know there's all kinds of truths and everything like that, but what do you think, brother, hypothetically? You're a very loving guy besides being a very brave and caring guy and stuff like that. What do you think is, you know, we all come to this conclusion. What do we do as a solution to end the tyranny or whatever we want to call it that they're doing to us? Like, you know, we unite, but what do we do? You know, how do we win?
I'm not sure.
That might be a rhetorical question. Who knows, right?
Yeah, it's kind of like who knows, but at the same time, I feel maybe it's not like a physical goal. It's more of like a mental consciousness goal. And I know it's not, it's kind of like a scapegoat answer almost, because I can't really put it in words, because it's something kind of beyond our understanding. We're kind of learning as we go, but I believe it's through the spiritual awakening and everything, more than it is, say, you know, oh, us going, getting somebody out of office or taking over some land or going past this border, or, you know what I mean? I believe it's something more on a conscious and a spiritual level. If that makes sense. It's very hard.
No, it makes sense, because I believe actually we're doing it right now, and that's all we need to do. We don't need to do anything different. Just continue to wake up the masses and do shows like how you're doing.
Yeah, that's what I agree, and that's why I do what I do. I believe that's what our calling is, to do this, much like you do. If anybody doesn't know, that's Joey Rocha. Make sure you subscribe to his Facebook page. He does videos every day, multiple times a day, usually, right, Joey?
That's right. That's right. Anything I can do to represent the truth community, anything. And plus, I'm really stoked, brother, that you're doing this show, because I've been waiting for your coming out show, and I'm your number one fan, so I wanted to be on here.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate you calling, man. You guys are awesome.
One last thing I want to say, brother, before I go is love you, Gloria. You're so beautiful, and everybody listening, thank you guys so much for all being heroes, and can you please share this video while it's live and subscribe to Brian Stavely, because he's a legit hero.
Aww.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Joey.
Love you, man. I'm just going to continue listening in. Chee-hoo! from Hawaii to you guys, brother.
All right, bye.
Aloha.
Bye-bye.
All right, awesome. Yeah, and if you guys can, just thumb up the video real quick. It only takes a second. We're running a really good ratio on the last few videos as far as people watching them. That Mandela video I did Thursday has 1,500 views already, which is really good because I only have 800 and something subscribers. I've never had a video that busy. So I think what's good to do sometimes, what I might start doing also, is I've done a lot of shows where I cross topics, and that's what we're going to do on Saturdays because we have a lot of things on our mind. We talk about a lot of topics. When I do the short videos, though, I focus them to one thing. So those don't have to cross the community. So the people that are interested in that topic or the people I'm targeting with the way I word it, they'll all boom, 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 boom. And I think it'll help them grow and then bring them back to the Saturday show. Then we build that bridge and connect them all. Does that make sense?
Yep.
You know me. I'm always devising a plan to make people look at shit. You got to trick these people, man. You know? It's crazy.
Do it slowly.
Yeah, yeah. But all right, I think I'm ready to sign off. We've been going for about 2 hours. So I think that's all I wanted to get out, unless you guys have anything else. You good?
Yeah, I'm good.
All right, everybody. Make sure you sub our channels, our pages, all that. It's all linked below the video. And make sure you hit the notification bell when you sub so you always get notified for every video. And we'll be uploading one, I'd say, either tomorrow night or Monday night probably, because we got some Mandela effects already building up. Wednesday, I'm going to do an interview like this with Carly Sunshine Medrano. Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern will be my awakening episode number 15 with Carly. So be sure to tune in for that, okay? If you guys don't know, you're not already subbed, make sure you subscribe to her channel on YouTube. She's been a flat earther for a long time, a researcher for a long time. I've known her for several years. Very smart person, looks at a lot of topics. It's going to be a very interesting story. That'll be Wednesday. You'll probably see us before then with some Mandela stuff. And then back to our normal show Saturday, probably 2 p.m. Eastern next week. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Paul Knight. Thank you, Gloria Canada. I'm Brian Stavely, Dose of Reality Video, TheRealNewsOnline.com, and sub my YouTube channel, user/Brian S. Stavely. All right, good night, everybody.